Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, y'all? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggling.
Yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey, what it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Co-pilot to the head man in charge, King Air. My name is T-Max. This is Off the Cuff Radio. Shout out to our co-host and spirit, a lot of Sandman and Lady Chinchilla. And tonight, we got a very special guest that reps the Black Flag, no lag, from one of the baddest cliques out there, BMF. That's right, Black Mafia Family. We doing it for the 301 to 443 to 667. Representing Baltimore, we doing it for Orangeville, Cherry Hill, Greenmount, Madison, Beret. Our guest tonight is one of the realest representing, and he stays freshest, keeping that bag intact with no slack. We doing it for all y'all out here, for the real G's in the street. Shout out to Erica the Plug and 87 Records, for which he is with. The one, the only man with the money in the bank, BMF Cash. What it do, man?
Oh, Tough Radio, what it is. BMF Cash in the building, man. Let's get it.
What's going on,
yeah, I'm
man?
In that cakewalk, bro. We got the cakewalk
man.
For it. Yep.
First of all, I appreciate the love, man. It's really, really real, man. Cakewalk is definitely taking off. And, you know, obviously it's the one that everybody wanted to hear. So, man, it's pushing. It's moving, man. I appreciate the love.
Dude, we appreciate having you on, man. I mean, you know, this is huge, man. In terms of following, you know, the BMF movement, you know, Free Meech, of course. We got to shout it out, of course, man. And welcome home, Southwest, you know, from last year. You know, this is huge, man. You're with a clique. You know, you're down with a crew that has, like, really been moving. You know, we got a lot to get to in terms of just talking about, you know, everything, the ups and downs, you know, and everything that's moving right now for y'all and for yourself across the board. So, and like you said, man, I guess we're going to get to it. You know, tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from, how you got into the game, you know. We got a couple hours. Let's get it.
Yeah. BMF Cash, man, born and raised in Baltimore City. Shout out to my city. I wouldn't be me if it wasn't for my city. Rest in peace to the First Lady Juice. You know what I mean? That's my sister. You know,
yes,
she was the
yes.
first believed in my music and believed in what I had going on and introduced me to the situation to go forward,
mm-hmm.
you know. And she was the one that overworked everybody. You know what I mean? So I cannot stop, you know what I'm saying, because she was the one that believed in what I had going on, you know what I'm saying. So that's where that is. Man, free the big homie, you know. Welcome home, T, like you say. This is epic, you know. It's a lot going on with the series and all that. I'm not on the series. I'm real family, you know what I mean. My music is what I do. I got businesses. We doing, you know, a different thing over here. You know what I'm saying? BMF is grown way bigger than anybody could have ever imagined. You know what I'm saying? We are now on the television. You know what I mean? On a positive book, you know? My music is where, that's my journal. You know what I'm saying? That's how I express myself. That's how I get my point across. And I'm going to carry it like I'm supposed to. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's in me. You know what I mean? It's just not on me. So, I mean, we going to the top with it. You know what I mean? I'm down here in Atlanta now. You know what I'm saying? I'm from Baltimore City. I already made some moves. I'm bigger than what I thought I was going to be already. You know, people ask you, like, yo, why you ain't made it? You know what I mean? Well, that depends on the level of success that you're looking for. You know what I mean? Because I didn't expect to be where I'm at now, doing interviews. You know what I mean? Obviously, the music is going somewhere. It's the people are hearing it. They're listening now. You know what I'm saying? So, again, I appreciate it.
Definitely.
It you know what? Observing how you guys move, man, it's like it's very inspiring in a way, because one thing that a lot of black men lack, for that matter, is structure. And I could tell with the whole way y'all move when y'all ain't at LP, y'all had like moving like a unit. And it just goes to show, when you move like a unit, you could be a dominating force and a force to be reckoned with.
I mean, strength is in numbers, you know. It don't matter if you see one of us or if you see 100 of us. We still all together, you know, and that's what everybody knows about what we was put together. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was structured properly from the beginning. Of course, you know, everybody falls short here, falls short there. You know, we lose a couple. You know what I mean? But we still here. You know what I'm saying? We ain't gone nowhere. So this is the second round, you know?
Definitely. And I tell you one thing about it, Cash, because the legacy that, you know, Nietzsche and Southwest started, you know, with y'all, it's definitely been in good hands, because even with what happened to them along the way, obviously it's in good hands, you know, with you, you know, with Erica, you know, so many affiliates. So we can't forget Boogie as well. Shout out BMF Boogie, you know.
Oh, man, big shout.
Yeah,
he just
man.
Dropped his new, it was just written. He hit me, you know, jumped in the DM, said, "Yo, video shoot today." I said, "Say less, send to Eddie." He sent to Eddie, and that's what it was. We made a movie, you know. I mean, 3 for 3. He just came home. He done dropped 3 videos. He on his way up, you know. So big shout out to Boogie, man.
Definitely. So in terms of your rap career, in terms of going into hip hop, Cash, what was your introduction at a young age to it, and what made you decide you wanted to do it, and how did you end up meeting, you know, Lady Juice, First Lady Juice, from that journey? Tell us about that.
Well, I always was around music. I mean, my pops was heavy into music. You know what I mean? He was more into, you know, gospel and R&B, but again, once the first song I wrote and he heard it, he was like, "Nah, you wrote a song?" I'm like, "Yeah," you know what I mean? And then the conversation stemmed to Juice, and Juice heard the song and was like, "Wait a minute, this your first time in a booth writing a song? Like your first time going in and putting it down?" She was like, "You got it. You know what I mean? You have what it takes." But at that moment, we was trying to, you know, get ourselves together. You know what I mean? Like, we was trying to get back on our feet. I had just kind of moved down to Atlanta. I was back and forth from here to Baltimore. And, like, we was trying to open up. She was trying to open up another nail shop and cafe. That was her thing. And I was opening up another business that I was doing. I had a tent shop and car wash and custom t-shirts. I do a couple of things, but you know, the music wasn't on the forefront. But then when she passed, I knew that was what I had to do. You know what I mean? I could start up the Juice magazine and all that again. I mean, I got a lot of things in the works behind the scenes, but the music is what she really was like, "Yo, you are amazing with it." And I still can't believe this is your first song. And now, I mean, we're talking 8-10 years later. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm amazed to be where I'm at, and I know I got a long journey to go. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Yeah, man. We were doing, because we, King, you know, and myself, we pride ourselves on doing our due diligence and our research for any guests we have on the show. And we were going back on YouTube and listening to some of your previous work, like Crimes, you know, songs like Crimes and Ballin', and it's like, we was like, "Yo, like, son got some heat," you know?
Nah, I mean, thank you. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
Crimes.
He definitely. Yeah, tell us about
that's
Crimes, man.
For you. Man, so I had reached out to my guy, who does Real Talk, Baltimore Real Talk DVD. You know what I'm saying? My man Ryan, he actually was the one who did the editing and the footage for me on that Crimes video. And, man, it was, I couldn't see his vision. All I knew is he had a bunch of footage from the riot. I was in the middle of the riot. You know what I'm saying? I was there when they killed Freddie Gray. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I was still in the
yeah.
city. So, like, there was a lot going on. And I'm like, "Yo, I got to bring I got to come back up and make sure that I do something for the city, and I got to show what's going on. Like, man, crimes is being committed every day. You know what I mean? That was before the mask. That was before the corona and all that, man. Niggas wear a mask every day. It's always trick-or-treat. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the city. You know what I mean? You got to just pay attention to what's going on, where you're from, where you're at. Like, man, Baltimore is wicked. And crimes was just, that's one of the thoughts, you know, that had to come out. So that's where that came from.
Definitely. And for those that aren't familiar with your city, yeah. Go ahead, King. Go ahead. I get to it. Go ahead, King.
Yeah, especially with Baltimore, I think in a lot of cases, people don't really know what really goes on with Baltimore and how grimy it can be.
Man, since the riots, before the riots, Baltimore's murder rate was down in the 200s since 1999. Since the riots, the murder rate has been in the 300s plus every year since the riots. You know what I'm saying? It ain't got no better.
Wow.
It's only worse. You know what I mean? And it's like, you got to make a decision, you know? You can stay in the city and try to make it, but the way it's just designed is not really designed for you to make it. You know what I'm saying?
You know, Cass, one thing about it, because we're movie buffs, we're television buffs, shout out to David Simon for arguably the greatest television series ever with The Wire. Rest in peace, Michael K. Williams, you know, a.k.a. Omar. Because The Wire,
yes,
really told, The Wire really told the story from a lot of levels, in terms of the police investigations to the street organizations, in terms of how both of them operate, in terms of investigating and how moves are made on the street. People who really don't understand the history of Baltimore have to understand, like, y'all got a real history in terms of it. When you mention names like Anthony Jones, when you talk about, you know, Nathan Barksdale, who Avon is based on, you know, Melvin Williams, you know, I mean, it's real. I mean, I think if I got my facts right, I want to say, was it Crazy Joe Gallo that might have been in Philly too? Well, I know Melvin Williams was affiliated with him as well, I believe, if I got my facts right. Everybody will check us on YouTube if I'm wrong. But the streets are heavy out there in terms of it. Growing up, how did that influence your style in terms of really bringing that gritty, raw authenticity to your art in terms of expressing it on wax?
I've seen it all, you know. I've seen it all at a young age, you know, things that, right now, everything on TV is uncensored. You know, you can watch, a 2-year-old could watch a murder happen on TV like this is nothing today. But, you know, back then, it wasn't no phones and cameras and all that around. You know what I mean? So if you was in the hood, you seen it. And you couldn't believe it, but you saw it for your own two eyes. And nobody could tell you that you couldn't. And nobody could erase it neither. You know what I'm saying? So then it's a thought that stays in your mind, and then they want you to talk to people and get a psychiatrist and do this and do that. And it's like, I don't want to talk to this person. I don't know this person. And then you hold it in, and then things happen to you in life. And you, all right, I remember this at that moment, and now I'm going to go ahead and take it out on this person or this person or this situation, when there's ways that you could think about it and do it. You know what I mean? But the city doesn't help the people, the influence. There's no real influence in the city. Well, at this point it is. It's a lot of, I take that back. But then it was nobody, really. Like, if you wasn't one of the dope boys or you didn't know them, then you wasn't really nobody. So you stayed out the way. But, I mean, even staying out the way, you're going to be caught in something. Because you're going to walk down the wrong block, or you're going to, you know what I'm saying, end up in the wrong situation somehow. Because that's just how the city works. You could be minding your business and get into it. You know what I mean? And that's the worst part about it. It felt like jail. You know what I'm saying? It felt like a jail that's outside. Because you can get into it in jail and be minding your business. But damn, you can walk down the street in Baltimore and get into it minding your business. You know what I mean? So it's a little wicked.
Yeah, West Baltimore is no joke.
Now, you look at Baltimore, and from the way you look at it, do you see the main problem being not only deprived resources, but also the fact that they put people in power like the mayor or governor or whomever that don't really have a clue on how to, you know, guide the people the right way?
It will take it take a lot, you know, to get people back on course, because of so many years of being misdirected. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's not even like a politician or somebody, a governor. It took somebody from the community, like, for instance, Lil Scooter, you know. Lil Scooter was the voice of Baltimore. He could control the city. He could have 100 kids come outside and do a dance. And at any peace rally or any football game or any basketball game or any high school or any college event, Lil Scooter could bring the city together. D.C. and Baltimore has never been together until Lil Scooter and Shy Money. What was that? Not Shy Money, I'm sorry. Shy Glizzy and Lil Scooter did the bird flu. And that was the first time Baltimore and D.C. had came together, especially with some music. But, I mean, just brought the city out. Like, and then he got killed. So then, at that point, when you got thousands of kids in the city that look up to this guy and come out to his shows and dance to his songs, and he gives them a different inspiration to do something else, you know, besides just sitting around and playing a video game or doing something like that. He actually had people outside doing things, different events and stuff like that. And then for him to be wiped out, you take away the motivation of the young ones, you know, that don't understand why he's not here anymore and can't make any more music. You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, you're absolutely right, Cass. And the thing about it is, I think, you know, from what King said about the government leadership in terms of elected officials, how much of a vested interest do they have in the communities that they are elected to serve in? And then when you look at individuals that grow up in the hood, man, PTSD is real. You know, it's not war. It's not just war related in terms of being shipped overseas, dropped in the jungle, in the desert, and you're fighting for your life. PTSD applies in the hood where you got a lot of these babies every day. They're seeing things, you know, they shouldn't be seeing. And like you said, they internalize it. And then without a person they feel they can trust to talk to, if there is no viable outlet for communication to express their discontent, their anger, their sadness, their uncertainty, you know, it builds and builds and builds until you have the next cycle of violence that's waiting to erupt. It's like a volcano until that pressure builds, and then that lava is going to go all over, you know, once it explodes. Yeah.
I mean,
you know, like what you
said.
Go ahead. Please.
Firsthand, I come from that. My mother passed when I was 13. I'm the one that had to call the paradise. You know what I mean? I watched
it. This.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so now at 13, of having a nice house, my dog, just had some puppies, me, my mother, my brother, my nephew, his girlfriend, my brother's girlfriend, you know what I mean? Two, she's passed away. She's gone. All right, the paramedics there. She's on the stretcher. They're taking out. All right, pops come, pick me up. Now, him and my brother are living in a two-bedroom apartment. There's no room for my toys. There's no dogs allowed. There's no nothing else around. You can get a couple pair of clothes. That's it. All that toy shit is out. There is no more kid stuff. You're not a kid no more. You got to grow up. Now you with your father and your brother. There's no more women voices around. There's no more ladies in the house. Everything changes overnight. You know what I mean? drive somebody crazy, they have no idea. My music is my journal, you know? That's the only way I get to vent. So, like, PTSD is most definitely. Well, PTSD, I mean, like, that's, man, it's too real, you know? I'm glad I'm able to vent, and I'm glad I'm able to put it on my music and express it. And I've already been down the other road, you know what I mean? I don't like it in there. It ain't for me, you know what I'm saying? So I got to go ahead and redirect what I got going on to stay on top, you know? So that's what I'm doing. But other than that, man, people go through that every day. They see it every day. I mean, bodies in the gutter. I mean, kids getting shot in front of their, parents and getting shot in front of the kids. I mean, everything going on all over the city. The wire can only cover but so much in that camera lens. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's going on all over the city every day. They can't capture that. They'll never understand what them kids and everybody go through in the city. You know what I'm saying?
You know, we're listening to you, Cash, because I used to be in education, so... When they, I think it was like the third or fourth season of that show, because we just knew it as a crime narrative. We just knew it as a crime saga of investigation and, you know, what moved in the street. So when they were doing like the fourth season, I think that was the school season. Like when you had Michael, when you had Dookie, Naaman, you know, all of them, you know. And I was like, how are they going to flip this? You know, but as I watched that season progress, they were talking about how the money and the resources are not provided to the school system that these kids end up. Like, I'm still bugging on that scene, you know, when that girl slashed that chick in the daggone classroom, you know, after the girl's fucking with her. And it was like, yo, it was like crazy. But as I saw it develop, you know, you're seeing what these kids deal with. And what they're bringing in and what their influences are outside, you know, mm-hmm. And as you watch further the seasons, you know, before the show ends, you know, you see Michael kind of goes down that same road because of what happens, you know, just situations in life, what was going on and how he basically, disclaimer, y'all have not watched The Wire a couple of years when I say this or, you know, because I'm going to ruin the ending, because he basically ends up being another Omar. At the end of it, that's basically where it goes after he starts falling, you know, into you know, whatchamacallit's crew.
So let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
You watched most of the episodes?
Nigga, I watched all of them. Okay. I watched every last episode.
So, and where you from, OG?
I'm from VA. Southeast, okay. Hampton Roads, Virginia.
All right, so The Wire is based in Baltimore, about Baltimore. I have never watched The Wire. I've never seen the episodes of The Wire. I've been intrigued
really
by
cool.
watching. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was for entertainment purposes. I lived in that shit every day, bro. That was not a game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't portrayed as a game at all. I'm not saying it in that manner. I'm just saying, like, I never watched a whole episode of it.
I'm going to tell you something, Cass. That's why that show resonated, because that show probably, from every aspect of what went on, of how police investigate in terms of how they have to go through procedure and protocol to get wiretaps, to do... you know, undercover stuff, to where you're looking at the criminal organization, you know, because Michael ended up working for Marlo in the end. Marlo came in halfway, I think around the third or fourth season, Marlo came in, and Marlo was the rival to Barksdale, and Marlo was straight sick with it. You know what I'm saying?
And you know what made it dope, too, was, and this is what happens with in regards to cinema, music, you have people that pretty much live those experiences. People that express those experiences, writing that out and expressing it. Like, you could tell from the people, from the way the storyline is rolled out, how the characters are developed. These people have lived that lived through that situation. And it's the same thing with music. That's how, even bringing this back to how you approach on the microphone, man, how you bring it musically. I could tell by listening to you, you live through what you talked about, and therefore that makes the music stand out in the test of time.
I appreciate that you noticed. It's a lot that I could say and be rapping about, but they'll never understand if I don't give them the real me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can portray somebody else and, you know, give you the bubble gum and all that shit, but that's not it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm telling you, hey, it's cold outside, hey, better keep that strap with you. Hey, be safe, man. I mean, like, pay attention. You know what I'm saying? Because you can be going to church and it can go down. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not telling you just go out here and start war. That's not, I ain't mentioned that, never. You know what I'm saying? And it's all in, it's in the message, but that's the key. I gotta give it the way I get it. You know what I'm saying? That's all.
When you said that, Cass, that's like what you were kicking on that joint 22 below. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. You heard that. Okay.
Nigga, I told you we do our research.
Yeah, hold out, man. You know, hoodie
season. Yeah, you know. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. And one thing, and, you know, when you look at it, because King and myself are older, so we came up in that generation of, you know, when crack hit, we saw everything really kind of come to the apex of where it was during the 90s and even the early 2000s when you're really seeing it. What do the youngins today have to understand about it from a perspective of what the street life really is? Because you got a lot of kids, we're just going to say it, we got a lot of fake rappers out here trying to really live, trying to talk about something they have never lived. But individuals like yourself grew up in it and lived it. And we also have a lot of kids who are having, trying to involve themselves in things that are not them in terms of they don't. It's different when you are around it and you kind of just fall into it. You know, it's just we understand hood politics and we know how people fall into it. But then you get people that kind of get a fascination trying to live a life that they don't really understand. From really being out of them trenches, you know, even when you try to stay low, even the barbed wire can cut you when you stay low. What do a lot of rappers and, you know, young niggas coming up in the game who haven't lived that life really need to understand about what the streets really entail and the laws of loyalty and the code of the block?
Well, loyalty, man, that's the big one, you know. Respect, man. Show respect, you receive respect, man. You know, you never know who nobody is or who nobody is related to or what situation you can put yourself in by showing a little disrespect, you know. A little respect can take you a long way, you know. You can look at it both ways. You don't know what life will bring you. So, watch what you say out of your lips, you know what I mean? Because it can come back to haunt you. And you won't know which way it came, depending on what you say, you know? My outlook and what I think that the youngest should understand is it's not a game inside of the bars. Outside on the phone, it's a game, you know? But when you are locked in, it's no game, you know. You better hope the COs are watching, because if they're not, then nobody's watching. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So there's no, I was about to say there's no guns in there, but there are some at this point. But there's no guns in jail. So you best to learn how to fight. If you want to be out here being something you're not, or acting like something you're not, you know what I'm saying? If you're not in it, you don't have to be in it. Don't put yourself in it. Stay out of it. Mind your business. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not, everybody's in everybody's business because it's on social media at this point. But still, you can still watch their business and still mind your business. You know what I'm saying? So, that's all. I always say to myself, I don't be in nobody else's business. That's why I'm doing me. You know? Got too much going on.
And another thing, too, for what I observe, and I think one of the main reasons why a lot of people get easily sucked in is peer pressure. Because, I mean, people feel that peer pressure to not only compete with their fellow man, to outstunt the next man, or, you know, get taking some advantage and going levels to it to get attention.
Yeah, but this thing, like, all right, so we're talking about somebody that's next to you, that you know what I mean, you compete with somebody next to you, that's crazy, you know what I mean? And then if you compete with somebody that's on social media, that's crazy, you don't even know that man. Like, you don't know what inherited his tough people that left him and shit, you know what I mean? And he flashes 100,000 on the camera and shit, and you going to go out here and get your head knocked off trying to rob the corner store. Like, you know, you got to pay attention. Like, mind your business. That's what I just said. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to jump out here and not be in the right, not in the right direction. And that shit can just flip you. You know what I mean? I don't think a lot of people that ain't even been flipped yet. You know what I'm saying? I think that's why they still going in the direction they going. They ain't been there. They ain't, you know, they ain't get caught up. I ain't even wish nothing on nobody. I wouldn't see nobody in there, but sometimes you got to go through it to get through it. You know what I'm saying?
We saw a little bit of that earlier this week when they had all of social media shut down. I started, we started looking at it like, damn, we can walk and see a real life purge if this shit don't come back.
Yeah, see, fortunately, you know, I got businesses that don't run off of social media, and I've been doing this for a long time. So I wasn't even paying that shit no mind until somebody told me. You know what I mean? So, like, luckily, hey, the business is still moving on my end, so I can't even, I'm stressed over here, you know.
So we got two questions for you, Cash. In terms of when you started rhyming, who were some of your influences, and as you progressed in the game, once you really started getting your understanding of the from really how you wanted to expand, how did you find, you know, how did you know what businesses you wanted to go into in terms of everything?
My influences was everybody that I seen start from nowhere and end up on somewhere, just end up anywhere that I've seen them that they wasn't before. I mean, whether, all right, if I click on YouTube and I watch Gucci Mane, and now I see Waka, and I like Waka, and now he got a video on. Well, I remember when Waka ain't had nothing. Like, that was inspiration. Now that man don't even rap, he's on boats, planting his own garden somewhere. Like, that's inspiration, you know?
Yeah.
Like, for real, like, watch the artist that just didn't have nothing and become over, I mean, not overnight because it don't happen like that, but just, bam, they just kept going and going and, yeah, now they there, you know what I mean? And where's there, it don't matter because their first interview could have been there for them, you know what I mean? Just like it was for me. So it ain't, like I said, ain't no real level, but it was just the inspiration that I'm doing it. Oh, man, I can do that. You know what I'm saying? I got a story to tell, too. Nah, I can't deliver it like that. That don't sound right. Nah, if I say it like this, nah, oh, that beat, yeah, that beat will get the point across. Okay, what I'm saying and that beat together is priceless. Let's do that. All right, cool, we got one, you know? And that's how it's made, you know? So.
Yeah. In terms of I guess even before we get into your business aspect, Cash, what was it, how did you, you know, in terms of you clicking up with BMF and making that move to Atlanta, What was it like, you know, once you came, you know, under that click and, you know, once you made that move as things started moving down there, what was it like in terms of just meeting everybody and just seeing how the whole, you know, business, you know, was, you know, conducted?
Well, at that moment, everybody was kind of separated and going in different directions. And it's virtually impossible. It's virtually impossible to meet everybody. I mean, I met who I needed to meet at the time I met them, and that's how things went. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're never gonna meet everybody. You know what I mean? Of course, there's levels of this shit. It is what it is. At this point, you know, I know everybody I need to know, and I know how to, you know, I can do whatever I need to do to make it work. You know, so. That was that, just getting to make sure everybody knew who I was and what I had going on,
right.
And that, you know what I mean, that I was who I say I was, you know what I mean, not put on the first one. Yeah. So,
you know, the mentality, is the closed mouth don't get fed, because coming out there from where you from and going to Atlanta, that's like a huge family culture shop, but you know that's a big opportunity for networking. You got to have your network game on point to make moves.
Yeah, I luckily had gained that not even knowing, honestly, bro, not even knowing that I had gained all the power of networking before I knew what networking was, because we not taught networking in Baltimore. You know what I'm saying? We taught to stay to ourselves, don't go over there, don't talk to them, don't look at them. Keep on going, you know what I mean? But when I came down here, I'm like, yo, how is everybody talking to everybody? Like, why is everybody waving and speaking and this and that? Like, you know, that was that. And I was just, I was in shock. And what happened was that since I already had a business for about 10 years I've been running up in Baltimore before I even started coming back before, I had already been networking. I had already been talking to people. I'd already been passing out business cards and, you know what I'm saying, putting it on my whips and doing that. So that's how I was doing my advertising and marketing. Doing a Google page, doing an ads up. So, like, I had no choice but to talk to people. So it really wasn't hard to me. I just didn't realize everybody was really doing it for a bigger purpose, because in Baltimore, you can network with somebody and it really don't go nowhere. Or it might end you up in some trouble. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a couple of different ways to look at it. But down here, you would want to tell everybody what you got going. It might go in a whole nother direction. Somebody go ahead and be like, look, man, look, I got somebody that needs everything you got right now and cash you out. You know what I'm saying? So that's how that go.
Yeah.
Is big then.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one thing about it, Cash, when we, you know, because we've had so many artists on the show, a lot from Atlanta as well. Shout out, of course, to Cujo Goody from the Goody Mob. We had him on about a year and a half ago. I mean, Atlanta is just like a big hotbed of it in terms of the music. Networking is one thing, Cash. What was it like in terms of once you really saw the music scene down there, in terms of what was really moving?
Man, if you, well, since I know you did, Catch 22, that was my first project. I mean, first time actually decided to go ahead and go forward and do it. You know what I mean? And if you listen to Catch 22 and then listen to Cash, Gas, and Tears. What happened was, when I first came down and was messing with my engineer, he was from D.C., so he was from up north like I was. So that's where the Catch 22 came. That's where them beats came, that concrete sound, that, you know what I mean, the street lights and all that. Well, down here, it's not really the same down here. So, you know what I mean? It's a lot of different situations. It's not concrete. It's not a bunch of houses piled up on top of each other. It's not row houses. It's more spread out. You know what I mean? Bam. So then Cash, Gas, and Tears came out. Well, the bag got different. Clientele got better. You know what I mean? I'm seeing different people. I'm networking with different people. My engineer and producer with Cash, Gas, and Tears, he's from Atlanta. Whole new sound. Whole new me. I'm in the booth every day with like 10, 15 dudes from Atlanta. So now I ain't got no choice but to adapt with my sound. You know what I mean? Then I dropped New Bankroll. Now, New Bankroll is a 50-50. You know what I mean? I got 50 people that say, man, I love it. It's crazy. Then I got 50 people that be like, yo, you singing on there, yo. That's not you. That ain't Baltimore, yo. Come on, yo. You over there, New Bank. You know what I mean? But that was what I was getting out of Atlanta sound, and that's where I was at. Because that's what was going on. New Bankroll down here. This is a new town. It's new money coming in. So we was doing that. Now, if you heard Cash, Gas, and Tears, the mixtape I just dropped, my engineer right now is from Baltimore. One of my old homeboys. You know what I'm saying? South Pack Mall. You know what I mean? He down here now. Now me and him in the studio every day. So now the sound is mixed. Now I done gained it. I done been down here. Now I'm versatile one. Now we cakewalking. Every day I get into the cream, cakewalking. Coming through them hundreds of Philly staying. Well, I mean, it's just, that's Baltimore and the South mix now. Well, there we go.
Yeah, and, you know, definitely from moving, you know, with Twin Bricks, you know, Entertainment, you know, to, you know, 87. I mean, you definitely have gone through, you know, those transitions. But as we listen to the stuff you were doing years ago to where you're at now, it's like you started off hot, and we just see the growth that you've, you know, evolved into. What do heads really have to understand about the music industry in terms of really, because once you went in with it, Cash, you were all in with this, where we see a lot of artists who kind of go halfway into it, like they're just doing it as a hobby, but they still got other extracurricular activities, you know, going on. What do you have to tell artists in terms of what the discipline and the stay with it-ness of doing music entails?
It takes dedication. Yeah, man, you have to have a purpose. If you're going for a hobby, that's what it's going to be, you know. People are only going to take you as serious as you take yourself. You know what I mean? These are the things that we ain't made up. It's I mean, some back in the day quotes. I'm just, you know, they come out like that because I get so much of my father and Juice, and I mean, just people that have been around me, they just come through and they be like, boy, you don't do this because, boy, what would I school to be doing? Oh, well, I got, man, go ahead and do that. So, like, if you ain't serious about it, nobody's going to believe you. You know what I'm saying? I don't care how many times you're like, yo, I made a song. And I'm like, all right. But when was the last time you been, oh, I made a song last year. Last year? Man, there's people in the studio at 3 in the morning to 3 in the morning. Now, you can figure out how serious you want to take it, or if you want to be heard, or if you really want, it's a hobby. Okay. You know what I mean? Well, fortunately, I got businesses to run, you know what I'm saying? So if you don't have no income coming in, this is definitely going to just be a hobby, because this is definitely not a broke man's sport, you know what I'm saying? I ain't saying you got to put the 100,000 up, but you won't put it up sooner or later in the long run, you know what I mean? You may not have to come out your pocket up front with it, but you're going to spend that bag to get heard, or you're going to come out with that product that they got no choice but to pay for. And then that puts you on a different level. You know what I'm saying? I've spent a lot of bread on music and already felt discouraged and da-da, man. But what else? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Not do it? I'm just going to start and stop? I ain't never been that type. You know what I mean? Like, nah, you're going to start something. You might as well keep going. You already started. So take it serious. You know what I mean? If that's what you're going to do, believe in yourself. You know what I'm saying? Get better. Listen to people. Take the criticism. You know what I mean? I get it all the time. You know what I'm saying? My lady beat me up like no other. But I tell you one thing. I gotta listen. You know? So, it is what it is.
Yo, and I'm glad you brought that up, too, because people, especially in the field that we're in, we're talking about rapping, podcasting, journalists. We get criticism at all, man. Sometimes people are just very, very thin. Like, they'll literally go off on anybody, especially on this internet shit. They'll go off on somebody that's even saying something bad about their record or, you know, your hat ain't looking that far to the side. So how do you maintain and maintaining that composure and you know, understanding that it's just that person's opinion?
I'm content with myself, bro. I don't need no validation. That's all. You know, some people need it. You know, they feed off of it. Yo, how that, I mean, yo, I ain't never been that type. I don't care what you think of me, you know. You want to respect me, and I'm going to respect you. And that's just what it is. I don't care if my shoes messed up, if my shirt got stained on. I don't care about none of that. I'm still me, bro. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, all that shit don't matter to certain people. So then when you try to, you know, overdo it and, you know what I'm saying, think you this and think you that, that shit, you're going to put yourself in a hole. You're going to miss your opportunity being that guy. You know what I'm saying? All right, you know, head too high, head too strong, don't want to hear nobody, don't want to listen to what's going on. Things change, man. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to change, but you got to change what's going on with you. Like, if the music around you changing, and that's not hot no more. I mean, my engineer, he do it to me all the time. Yo, speed that up, bro. You making the song sound old. Like, wait a minute, bro. Wait. Yeah, no, you need that sometimes. Like, you know, give me that push. I'm going to take it. You know what I mean? All right, now I'm going to say it a little faster. Now, that's it right there. All right, cool. Now, but if I wasn't like, man, I don't want to hear what you're saying, cool. Now you're going to let me go out there and crash. You know what I'm saying? So, nah. Just take it serious and be, you know what I mean? Stay in your own lane. Don't care what people think. Just do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, you know, one thing about it, I think a lot of people have to understand musically, this is something that hip-hop, you know, rapping, it's about your vision in terms of how you choose to express yourself. One thing about it, we talk to so many people on and off the air, and this thing is a real endeavor. I think that's what people got to understand as you move along in it, because there are no guarantees for anybody coming into the game that your shit is going to hit. You know, we've seen a lot of rappers. Look, I've said this before, shameless shout out to the Source magazine and XXL magazine. I have every Source magazine since 1994, and I have every XXL since 1997 when they started pressing up. So we see a lot of these artists that come in, that some of them make it and some don't. We've seen we saw Jeezy before Jeezy really blew. You know, we saw Rick Ross before he really blew. We've seen artists, you know, that were supposed to blow and they didn't blow. So it's a very uncertain climate, but it's something that, and you know this as well as anybody, Cash, but, you know, your shit, if it hits, somebody's going to hear it and somebody is going to appreciate it. And somebody's going to bring you on their show like we did, because we were like, yo, we need to have this dude on our show. You know, so it's about
real.
It's about,
you know,
yeah.
And that's what's been happening. I mean, honestly, I mean, again, I got music out, you know. I spent Cakewalk to a couple DJs, and the response was different than the rest of them, than the other ones, you know. It's like, hey, send me that song to my email. It's like, what song? The song you played last week, I was in here, I heard it, but I need it so I can play it. And I'm like, oh, Cakewalk? Yeah, that joint. Oh, okay, yeah, maybe. And then he would bring another DJ to the club, and Yo, let me, wait a minute, yo, that's that joint right there? Yeah, send it to my email, too. Here, take my email. Wait a minute, okay, so, all right, I know I got other ones, but the one that they're asking for is the one you got to give them. You know what I mean? I don't care what you think. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's been going on. Cakewalk has went from where I didn't, when they ask you to come to the station, like you said, they ask you, hey, we need that clean version. Wait a minute. Oh, you know, that's a little real right there, because they ain't asked for the clean version of the other ones. But,
right,
you know,
right.
when you got one that the people are asking for, you most definitely got to give it to them. You know.
What was the process behind it in terms of when you made that?
Man, Cakewalk, I mean, literally, again, we ain't even really get to my business yet, but, like, one day I got a call for a job, and it was one of my biggest jobs yet at that point for my business.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, literally, for my business, I always get a nice deposit half down, and then we're going to go ahead and finish when the rest is complete.
And, understood.
With that deposit, and I was cakewalking, bro. Like, it was that simple. Hey, Ball, I need to get in the booth, bro. I need this beat right here. I don't know what it's going man. Oh, we cakewalking. Every day we get into the cream. Cakewalking, thumbing through them hundreds, feel a sting. Cakewalking, 20s, 50s, hundreds, hit a ting. Cakewalking, every day I eat the cake, get the cream. Well, that's what we was doing that day. That's how I came up.
Okay, I guess this is where we get into the business aspect. Because you said you got a car wash, a TV teacher. So let's talk about that. Okay. So tell us about tell us about your entrepreneurship.
I've been window tinting, man. That's been my trade since I was 19. I've been continuously growing. I got the number one tent shop down here in Georgia, in Mara. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Commercial and residential
okay.
buildings and houses and restaurants and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Oh,
the people don't really know what I do during the day. They just know I rap. You know what I mean? But, it's, you know, the rap's got to come from daily activity and, you know, visions and things I've seen in life. But my daily activity is my business.
Mm.
Businessman first is what Juice was about. BMF stands for a lot of different things. You know what I'm saying? I'm a businessman first, and then everything else. So that's why we going forward, because we already going to be taking care of our own thing. I mean, if nobody want to help or somebody want to assist, we going to be all right, because we doing what we supposed to be doing. You know what I mean? That's all. We got legit businesses over here. You know what I'm saying? So we ain't worried about what everybody got going on, you know? But that allows me to continuously make my music and pay for my studio time and videos and marketing and promo and, you know, my businesses. And so, again, back to the youngins, you most definitely keep doing what you're doing, but stay focused on something to keep your income coming in, because until rap overpowers it, you're going to have to keep something going to eat, you know?
One thing we're listening to. Yeah. And we're listening to you give these jewels cash, and it's so refreshing, because a lot of the young brothers coming in the game, you know, young niggas think that this is all like, you know, we always reference this, you know, where RZA says, you know, Wu-Tang, like, you know, you think, you know, you're going to just come in and get rich overnight, you know, and it, you know, it takes years to get it. But one thing about it, Cash, the way you speak, the way you're speaking to the integral element of having a job, which there is no shame in, you know, because you got to work to get the rewards. You know, I mean, that's just how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. You know what I mean? And that was my father training. You know what I'm saying? He had the same two jobs since I was born. Two full-time jobs. You know what I mean? Till he passed away. You know what I mean? Like, the same two jobs. Because at that point, when my mother told him I was on the way, he went and became a man that he was supposed to and took care of what he was supposed to do. And he did, you know. And that's just all I know. I got two daughters myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, we ain't kids. We got kids to feed. You know what I'm saying? So, like, keep something going on the table, because your table get low, it's going to get ugly. You know what I'm saying? That's when you start doing things you don't want to do and put you in positions you don't want to be in. You know what I mean? So.
I think another thing is we acquire, like, what we acquire, what we learn. The most important thing is to apply it. And I think that's what we see with a lot of people. Like, they're book smart, but they're not really applying those plans. Because, you know, DMX said it best. Shorty can't eat no books.
Nah. Not at all, bro. Not at all. No books. If you ain't getting out here and doing something, going to work, starting a business, doing something for yourself, I mean, like, you are just a waste of space, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real. A waste of space. And that's sad that there's people out here like that, you know what I mean? But that's the world
we
live
in. You said that on the track. If you ain't a hustler, it's just a waste of space. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you got to go out and get it. You know, so as we look at how, you know, obviously, you know, BMF has definitely got a brand and a name. You know, I mean, shout out to Sosa, because I got the book he wrote. You know, for those that have not picked it up, if y'all have seen the television series, y'all need to go get Sosa's book, because Sosa's book is really breaks down that history. Shameless plug, but yeah, but it's a it was a great read. It was a great read. Shout out to Dexter, man. He really delivered something comprehensive with it. With Meech Jr., in terms of him doing the show, what was it like for you all when you all got the word that 50 was going to, you know, not only produce the show, but Meech Jr. was going to be, you know, he was going to be cast as his father in the lead?
I thought it was dope. I mean, straight up, what else could a father ask for, let alone the son? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, we talking about a legend in itself in the whole situation, but both parties are still here to witness it, and the son being, you know, portraying his father. Like, you know, I think that was like a major, major role for him. You know, that was a big win for the family. That was a big win, you know. I don't know what else besides, you know, Lil Meech had dropped some music before, and, you know, I don't know what else he was doing, but I know now, you know, 50 got him in some more roles, and he's going to push him into more different films and stuff, man. Like, congratulations to him, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's definitely in a great position, and I know his pops is proud, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Now, you know, we got to ask you this because obviously this has been a bit of a trending topic this week in terms of what Blue Da Vinci has said. I read some of the comments on everybody's page, we're not going to get all into the circumstances with it outside of what he said about he don't want nobody playing with his name. I'm like, okay, because I know that story as well to a degree. And I'm like, okay, yes, Blue, you know, you were part of it, but then what happened. So it's like you're putting yourself in a position in terms of how it's going to be interpreted. But I just felt like, Blue, this ain't probably the best thing for you to kind of, I'm going to just say it, to kind of make veiled threats in a sense. I'm like, especially when you're talking about a man's son, I'm like, that's probably not a good idea.
Well, I mean, so Meech don't have anything to do with the writing or the direction of the situation. You know what I'm saying? So that's
right.
Not who he talks. He's not talking to little Meech. He's talking to the writers and the directors in the situation, because they can portray somebody's name to be good or they can portray somebody's name to be mud. And all he was saying was, don't portray his name to be mud. And that's, if that's the story that y'all going to portray, then he's definitely going to feel some type of way about it. If that's not the story that they're going to portray, then don't nobody got nothing else to worry about or be said about the situation. Well, you know? So
understood.
I ain't got
understood
about it. You know? That's all. I don't know.
Right.
I'm watching everybody else. You know what I mean? But that's all. I ain't got nothing else to say about it.
Understood. So pretty much as you, what have you found in terms of, you know, as you've gone on this musical journey, being a father, being an artist, you know, being a husband, being a businessman, in terms of all these different elements in your existence, Cash, what is it, you know, what have you learned about yourself? What have you learned about life as you've gone on in this?
Everything is temporary, you know what I mean? Even life.
Mm.
And once you accept that, you might enjoy it a little bit more, you know what I'm saying? I enjoy what I have, you know what I mean, and what I got going on, and at the pace that it's going, I ain't in no rush. This is a marathon. I'm just hoping I stay around and see it all unfold, you know what I mean? Rest in peace, Nip, you know what I mean? Because he definitely opened everybody's eyes to, that man was already on top, but he wasn't exposed to the world like he should have been until he died, you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
same thing. I'm, you know, here to see the world here cakewalk and see the world, you know what I mean, accept BMF Cash for the artist I am and the work I'm putting in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
I think in many cases, like you said, a lot of the events that's been happening for the past 2 years, it made people look at life in a different way because I think for the most part, people took it for granted. And now you start really seeing death every day. You start seeing circumstances transpire every day, unexpected. You got to appreciate the people that you already have and you build them with.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, here today, gone tomorrow, we ain't make that up. You know what I'm saying? I done seen it. I mean, over a handful of my close homeboys from Baltimore that I done told, yo, I know you up there, you doing you. You making money and all that. It's time to get out the city. And they never made it, you know? And so every time I got to hear the story of, yo, wait, what's the name at? Like, yo, what's the name? He ain't make it. You know, it just kind of puts you in the mind frame like, man, this shit is whack. This shit is phony. This shit is temporary, you know? And we all got dates and times and we don't know them, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So enjoy what you got going on and who you got with you and your team. And if you by yourself, we'll go out and have fun by yourself and do what you do. But, yeah, enjoy it till it's over. You know what I mean?
You know, Cass, when we think about Nipsey, because what you said resonates so much with King and myself, because we were going to, you know, we had a mutual friend who showed one of our clips to Nipsey. We were going to have Nipsey on the show down the line. And unfortunately, you know, he heard our clip that Saturday before he was killed. He was killed on Sunday, and he heard our clip that Saturday evening. So that's especially poignant for us.
Are you saying friend of yours?
Go ahead.
Yeah, he directed one of the movie. He directed one of the first documentaries that Nipsey was involved in. He had him, YG, Game. It was a whole lot of the New West at the time. And we interviewed him. And after we did that interview, he played the interview to Nipsey. And Nipsey texted him back saying that the interview was dope. And that was the last text that he got.
Damn. Yeah, because we were planning to get Nipsey on, and I'm going to just say we were probably going to get him because Nip liked it, and we were going to get him on the show, you know, but he had died, and then we get the word, then we saw the news that he got killed the next day, and we're like, oh, fuck, we were riding with Nip.
And the world felt it, you know. When you have done so much for so many and really have changed visually everything that everybody can say negative about you, then it's like, oh, man, he not him. You know what I'm saying? Because, because some people are here as angels and then there's the ones in the sky, you know what I mean? And Nip was one of the ones that was here as an angel. And now he's one of the ones in the sky because now he opened everybody's eyes to different things, you know? He opened up a lot of entrepreneurs, you know what I mean? People started businesses because of him. I mean, people started their own clothing line and went harder than ever, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so much, you know what I mean? It just brought a lot of the gangs together. I mean, you know, like, I mean, shit you would never see, you know what I mean? Literally. But that sometimes it had to take that because other than that, it might have been a war that day. You know what I mean?
Facts.
So.
Yeah. And when you look at it, man, you know, we have been riding with Nip for so long, you know, that's why we were so happy when his album had dropped, you know, because, you know, we were like, we knew the world when Victory Lap dropped back in, you know, 2018, 2019, we were like, you know, we had heard whatever we had already, the world was going to hear what we had already knew the entire time, you know, from Blue Laces to Bullets Ain't Got No Names to Slawson Boy 1 and 2. I mean, Nip had just, and then we're not even talking about Nip's guest appearances that he had done, like the joint he did, You Broke, with YG. I mean, Nip was like this dude who was really, really, really coming into his own as an artist. And now the whole world, you know, for that brief time, has saw what this man, in terms of entrepreneurship, in terms of music, what he was still doing, bringing it ahead. I mean, you know,
people really going to try to see the West kept secret.
Yeah.
That's really what it was, man. And dang, like, you know, after you get in tune with him, and I mean, I had definitely heard a couple songs before that. I mean, I was a fan. Like, I liked him. I mean, I didn't have any of his albums or nothing, but it's like, damn, I'm on the East Coast. I'm down in the South. Oh, you know, they flood us with the radios ain't playing the Nips down here. You know what I mean? So we ain't really get that. But to listen to music and you listen now, it's like, yo, he was, I mean, if there's a word past amazing, it was Nip. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had every style, every feeling you could get in music. He had it. You know what I mean? And the world didn't know he had it. Yeah, that's the crazy part.
Yeah, man. In terms of seeing artists out there today making moves, who are you really feeling? And as you keep doing this, who would you like to work with? Producers or rappers or just anybody?
I want to work with everybody. It's not one person that I don't want to work with. I mean, like, when it comes to music, I don't care what you do. If you sing, rap, if you just, I don't know, it don't matter. I want to be a part of everybody's creation. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's dope.
Depending on the content, of course, but yeah, I want to work with everybody. If you doing music, let's link. You know what I'm saying? Like, flat out. Like, I'm open to it. You know what I'm saying? Because you never know where the music can go. You never know where your song's going to go. You never know who's going to need that song that day. You know what I'm saying? So, everybody.
And it also goes into what we talked about earlier about keeping pushing, because you never know who your music going to reach. That one fan could turn to 100, and that 100 fans could turn to 1,000, and so on.
And that's easy. That's easy because that one fan might have those 100 fans that never knew who you were, but that one fan, like you say, going to turn them into that because, look, they like that. They like the feeling that that song gave them. Well, you heard this song? Man, listen to this. It's going to make you feel like this. Wow, it do. All right, well, man, share it. Pass it on. Make everybody feel like this. I mean, that's pretty much what Cakewalk been doing, you know? For real.
Yeah. And when you look at the music scene down there in Atlanta, you know, they, in terms of the networking, in terms of how stuff moves, you know, when you look at how Future, you know, J Futuristic, you know, Jeezy, Gucci Mane, you know, Ludacris, you know, Lil Jon, they're just so many. You know, they rep that area. You know, I mean, past and present. You know, I mean, even when you take it back years ago with Jermaine Dupri, what he did with Criss Cross, when you look at Dallas Austin, you know, when you look at Babyface and L.A. Reid with LaFace Records, I mean, the musical legacy, and you're an Atlantean, you know, you're well embedded there, Cash. You know, you kind of, you're part of a rich history of musical legendariness. What is it like to be part of that in terms of that scene, in terms of carrying on tradition?
It's a blessing, first of all, you know, to be even put in that category. Shoot, I mean, hey, to be mentioned with those greats is good with me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't even done songs with them yet, but hopefully that's coming soon. So it feels good, you know. I know I'm headed in the right direction. I got a lot of support down here. I got a lot of support around the world, actually. And it's bigger than it, when I get people that send me messages and say, yo, we playing Cakewalk in Dubai. Well,
oh wow, the Emirates. Okay, the Middle East. Okay.
To make you feel a little different, you know. It's like, okay, you know, I'm gonna put on me a clean black T-shirt tonight. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna press my shoulder. You know, it'd be a different feeling, you know. So like, all of it is, it's about feeling. It's definitely about the support, your team, you know, and the grind just can't stop. That's all. I ain't gonna stop.
We got to ask you this, Cash, because Atlanta, everybody knows Atlanta's strip club capital. What is it like when Cakewalk and dropping the strip clubs at a Blue Flame or a Magic City?
You know what's crazy? I don't know. I haven't been in Magic City to go see Wolf of Magic in a little while. I need to go ahead and fly through there.
Okay.
I've really been hitting a lot of the normal, regular clubs and lounges.
Understood.
I slide through a couple of clubs to just mingle with a couple of DJs, but, shout out to DJ Dre. My DJ Dre, he and Gold Rush every Monday. He's been supporting me for years, you know what I'm saying? Like, he one of those DJs. He going to spin it whether I'm there or not, you know what I mean? And he was definitely one of the first DJs that told me, you know what I'm saying, like Cakewalk was going to take off, You know what I mean? That's one of the that's the one right there. You know, this was one of the first. Dre, listen to this. You know what I mean? And he did that. And shout out to DJ Calvin, man. DJ Calvin, DJ AD, they've been pushing heavy. DJ Kool-Aid. I mean, it's some of the DJs. The name I know. Me and the DJs really got great relationships. You know, and that's the difference. But what I got going on, it ain't really. I mean, you know, you come down here, you gotta go ahead and bless some people and do this and do that. But when you really get to meet these people and network and build relationships like you're supposed to, like the game make you do and do it right, then it takes you a lot further. You know what I mean? So Cakewalk has been playing in regular clubs, regular lounges, strip clubs as well. So it's deeper than the strip clubs. It's not just a strip club song. Everybody in the club. If it's Friday and it's payday and you club, well, you cakewalking. You in the lounge. It's brunch, man. It's Sunday brunch, man. You in there chilling with your own girl, man. Y'all cakewalking in there. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter. It's for wherever you at. So that's what's going on with that one.
And that's the beauty of the cast.
It's for a movement.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it on Off the Cuff Radio on this date. Right here, that song is going to become a classic. You know, I'm gonna just say it. I think Cakewalk is going to become one of those.
You had Buddy doing the dance; he was killing the Cakewalk dance.
Oh man! Shout out to Be Easy, man. Baltimore's finest, man. Be More Like Us. That man right there. Me and him go way back. We did a lot of business. We broke a lot of bread together. But I tell you one thing, he's a dancing motherfucker, boy. I tell you, and when that Cakewalk, he lost his mind and did what he did, and I was like, wow, you know, he just did that. And that's what he do. He turn up, you know. I had to post that, man. He the one. I told him, I said, man, you the official Cakewalker. But nah, we definitely looking for the dance, somebody to come up with the official Cakewalk. You know what I mean? Because we're about to start. We got to do the video coming soon. So that's going to be epic. You know what I mean? We need all the cakewalkers to come out. You step in, you dance. You know what I mean? I need you to get at me. You know what I mean? So hit me up.
And we might need to get Hype Williams to come back out of retirement at the Red. He'll find the baddest women out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, Atlanta got no shortage of those. Oh, my goodness. I need to get back down to the A, man. I mean, I went down there years ago, and I was like, oh, my goodness. Especially when we drove past Spelman. I was like, I was just ready to jump out of the car and just go crazy
over
there.
Y'all not here for the picnic, huh?
You said what now?
Yeah.
Y'all not going
to freak Nick?
We would love it if the freak Nick was like the freak that we heard about growing up.
They going to bring that back.
I can't say how it's going to be, but what I will say is I will be performing live at the Freaknik Sunday. I think we on the main stage Sunday night about 11 o'clock, between 11 and 11:30. I will be on the stage performing live. So Freaknik going to be crazy, man. We cakewalking all across the stage.
That's dope, man. I mean, and as you've been moving with this, with your movement, Cash, because we wanted to ask you this because when I asked that question earlier, because I know, you know, when songs, like, really hit, you know, in a strip club, that's when, like, it really, like, has become, like, that jam. But, I mean, obviously the song is dope on its own, whether it's there or in a regular spot, like you were saying. How important is it for, you know, you in terms of getting to mingle with your fans, really meeting the people and letting them know, like, you're around and you're not unavailable, you're not unreachable, like, yo, I'm here. We all in this together to have one big party.
All they got to do is reach out, you know? Like, I'm not unreachable, you know what I'm saying? Like I say, I do want to work with everybody. If you're an engineer and you're a producer, you're an engineer and you got a studio, man, let me know where it's at. Let me pull up. Let me know, you know what I'm saying, when I can come in and get something done. If you're a producer, man, shoot me the beats. I'll send you the email. It's easy. You know what I mean? Let me let me hear what you got. You know what I mean? If you're an artist and you want to do something, hey, feature price is going up. But they, I mean, listen, somebody, we gotta eat, but we're going to go ahead and eat. Because if I got a show and
right.
I like that song, guess who's on the roster? It's just that simple. We're going to work together. You know what I mean? So that's how it go.
Like I said, this is a tour, you know, October 8th, 2021, you know what I'm saying, this date, you know, 10/24, you know, I said a couple minutes ago, your song is going to be like that next wave, you know, because it's already, you know, burning it down in Atlanta, you know, you already got it, you know, moving across the world. And when that song really catches on, because like you said, when that video hits, then y'all really get like a dance behind, you're going to have a phenomenon behind it. How does it feel knowing that you're going to be that next dude out there, really to like you're really going to be that next guy?
I don't think it hit me yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's picking up slowly but surely, and I'm just like patiently sitting back watching, you know. I'm not over expecting nothing. I'm just accepting what comes to me, you know what I mean? So I hope it is one of those classics, like you say, that from years to come, everybody's cakewalking and everybody know me, you know what I'm saying, for that and everything else I got coming, because I got so much stuff in the cut. I mean, cakewalk, that's the beginning, you know. That's the first thing that they're hearing. All right, they'll catch up, you know what I'm saying? So, we move.
And you know, as they say, Fat Joe would say, price range went up.
Yesterday's price is not today's price. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's always a beautiful feeling, knowing that what you work for, you know, that it's really coming to fruition, where you know that it's coming in the direction. Pretty much, are you going to pretty much kind of concentrate on the EP mixtape strategy, or are you pretty much prepping everything for a full-scale album release?
Well, right now, Cakewalk is the focus for at least the next year. You know what I'm saying? We definitely got to give it its full push before we move on.
Right.
I definitely. Another project in the cut. I got another mixtape, 2 mixtapes in the cut. I mean, me and my engineer, we work daily, just building, you know what I'm saying? Just building, period, you know what I mean? So, but right now, Cakewalk is definitely it. Every time I try to post something new, I get the call. Man, take it down. Yeah, Cakewalk is it. Nope, Cakewalk. Yeah, if it ain't Cakewalk, we ain't, don't put it up. All right. I mean, like, it's just, that's what we doing, you know? So that's the route we going.
Well, I guess seeing Cakewalk's the push right now to get the cake, I guess the only thing we got to do now is bake another one in terms of the remix, because we know the remix is coming.
And you know how they do in the South. They got the all-star remix. Y'all might have to.
Exactly.
They might pull that rabbit out of the hat and get Andre 3000 on that motherfucker.
Well, so, like, the remix is going to be worldwide, you know what I'm saying? Because I know it's so many other artists that's out there cakewalking that just don't have Cakewalk. So they going to want to get on it, you know what I mean? And I'm right here with open arms, you know what I'm saying? I definitely can't wait to all the cakewalkers that's in the industry hear it and be like, boy, I need to get on that Cakewalk. And I'm be like, I need you on that Cakewalk. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the plan.
Yes, sir, man. And you know,
yeah.
And we about to possibly wrap this thing up a little bit shortly. You have any shout outs you want to give out?
Oh, man. You about to have people mad at me. Shit, I'm gonna forget somebody, bro. Shout out to the whole family. Shout out to the affiliates. Shout out to the associates.
Yeah.
Out to the friends. Shout out to, you know what I'm saying, everybody that's in the cell, man. Free Meech, man.
Definitely.
Welcome home. You know what I'm saying? Free Uwe. Free Sharp. You know what I mean? Again, it's a lot of them. Rest in peace to First Lady Juice. First and foremost, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be here without her. I'm never going to stop because she wouldn't stop. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we're doing. DMF Cash, Google me. You know what I mean? I'm worldwide. I'm everywhere. Music is out. You're going to hear me. Listen to it. Check it out. Pay attention. You know what I mean? Shout out to everybody that support me. Shout out to everybody that don't support me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm with all of it. You know what I mean? So.
And with the guests we've had on the show, Cash, you know, we thank you so much. Shout out to Erica, of course, Erica the Plug. Shout out to 87 Records. Shout out to the old BMF. Shout out to the whole crew, Cash. You know, you are welcome back anytime on the show. You know, whenever you got some new heat to bring to us, we're ready to have it cooked up here, you know, to serve it. Pass the word along, you know, BMF, we behind y'all movement 1,000%. You know, Cash, you know, let your people know, anybody they want to bring to the show, we're more than happy to have them on. This has been great, man. We're honored, we're privileged. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Man, Off the Cuff Radio, man, I appreciate the love. You know, y'all definitely been showing a lot of love on the repost, just on the post, just mentioning the playing the song, re-spinning it, you know, just mentioning my name, you know, that means a lot, you know what I mean, especially where you at, I'm not there, so any room I'm not in and somebody speaking about me, I appreciate it, you know what I'm saying, so salute to y'all, and I mean, I got plenty of artists, man, 87 Records, we got so many artists on the squad to come bring to the table that, you know, it's a new movement going on.
We're here for all of it.
All the way, brother.
Yes. And on that note,
go ahead.
You said what now?
No, I ain't want to cut you off.
Oh, no, I'm good. I was just ready to say, man, just make sure y'all keep spinning that cakewalk, man. That's all I can ask. You know what I mean?
Definitely, man, we will. I'm going to try to get you in touch with one of my DJ friends out here in Virginia, man, to see what we can do in terms of getting that album. You know, we'll get that song, rather, you know, blowing down here. So you got, look. In terms of us making the acquaintance on this interview, that was so incredible. You know, you got support from the people you haven't met face-to-face yet, and guess what? We're going to keep supporting it. We want to see you win, and keep doing it, man. You know, you've come so far, and you still, you know, running that marathon of magnificence. So keep that stamina of strength, you know, to excel and prevail, man. And we're behind you all the way. Anything you need from us, you know how to reach King and myself. We're a phone call away.
Man, I appreciate that, definitely.
So, yeah, on that note, we'll see y'all Sunday. We're going to have the three-headed monster show going down with Yuck Mouth and Dire Lansky from Dire 4 Radio, and we're going to be in it with it.
From the Bay to L.A.?
Yep.
And on that note, peace and God bless. See y'all Sunday. We out.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Peace.